Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. just going to ask you to just open your hands and take a moment. Just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. To let His presence begin to wash over you. Just a few moments here with Him. Drawing near to His heart. Just ask the Holy Spirit to come. Haven't sensed His presence, just ask Him, I want to know Your presence. Holy Spirit, I want to know You. I want You to have Your way within my life. Holy Spirit, I want You to teach me how to exalt my loving heavenly King, Jesus. Come undone. We want to know You. Help us, God. Thank you.
some in the room right now that the Holy Spirit is lingering for. He just wants to capture your heart right now. He's looking for stewards of his presence. And I heard the Lord say, all of you. All of you. I'm looking for all of you. I'm looking for every single one in this room to be a steward of my presence. Feel like the Lord would say, how can you be a steward of my presence if you can't linger and wait for me? Some of you have things stirring up inside of you. For some it's positive, for some it's negative. Holy Spirit wants us to learn to harness our emotions so that we can incline our ears to His voice. When He moves in a room, He stirs up in some people, and in others flesh stirs up, and in still others there's demonic things that begin to stir up. And He says, in the midst of all of that, I want you all. So for those that have their flesh stirring up right now, He says, draw into me. Choose me. For those that have demonic interference, He says, choose me and it'll leave. So, Lord, we're asking, what are you saying today? I just feel like the Lord wants, as an act of faith, those in the room that need prayer right now, that feeling stirred by the Lord just for prayer, just raise your hand right now. You just would like some prayer. Okay, we're going to just take 5 minutes and keep your hands up. I want the body of Christ to just gather around those people right now. Just raise your hands up so people can come and just surround you and pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just stand as the body of Christ right now, and we just release your power in this room. Lord, we're asking for a manifestation of love, of your love for your people right now, in Jesus' name. I feel the Lord saying, peace be still, to many people in the room right now. Peace be still. The process of finding you is Him moving past sometimes your raging emotions. And in that place you say, Jesus, come. And He comes. So often our raging emotions cause us to choose something else. Just release in simplicity the gospel today, the good news, that He loves you, that He paid for you, that He bore your grief and sorrows, which can be translated maladies and anxieties, and diseases and sicknesses. He was pierced through for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. And by His stripes you are healed. Lord, we just release your gospel right now in this room in Jesus' name. Lord is drawing us to Him right now because of the days ahead. The days ahead aren't just fearful. Darkness is going to cover the earth, the Bible says, but the glory of God is going to shine on the body of Christ. He's drawing you to Himself right now because He wants you to steward His presence. And you cannot do that if you're walking in immorality. You cannot do that if your focus isn't on the Lord and the Lord Himself. You cannot do that if your mind is scattered in several places and that your emotional energy comes from things that is not the Holy Spirit. You can't steward His presence in the days ahead. The body of Christ is going to be a mature body of Christ, Ephesians 4 says. Until we all come into the maturity, into unit globally, into the likeness, it says, of the headship of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just keep hearing the Lord say, I want you all. The invitation is out there, but I want you all. But He can't make you do anything, and He won't, because He's given you something called free will. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we bless your people in Jesus' name. We release your peace right now in this place. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. You guys just want to stay up here, you can. I'm just going to go for just a few minutes here. Thank you, worship team. I feel like Bob came up to me earlier and he said, I feel like the Lord's drawing us into His presence. And he was sharing with me a little bit of an experience he had. You know, it's sometimes we get so used to making transitions and getting into the normal format of Sunday morning. And the Holy Spirit, I just keep feeling him say, hey, there's going to be some times in the days ahead where I'm going to change directions. And I want you to be able to steward that as a people, not as leadership specifically, although leadership is, of course, important, but as a people, that you can sense the directions he's going. And so the Lord said he wanted to linger. There's some people he's lingering for. I remember when I was in Canada, one of the first times I ever spoke after coming back to Jesus in the summer of 98, and I was going to Canada, and I had it in my mind, you know, I'm on fire now. God's got a hold of my heart. My dad was so excited because that's what he had prayed for so many years, and he was inviting me to speak, and I got geared up. I prayed in the Spirit. I had everybody praying. And I was going to hold this massive revival in Dutchess, Alberta, Canada. You know, that's how I was thinking as a young man, that now's the time. God's going to just, you know, blow the place up and so on and so forth. We were visiting family somewhere, and Saturday night we were driving back. And so it was Sunday morning, and my parents, my mom and dad were actually praying for me for the next day, you know. This is a big deal, you know, first time I'm speaking, you know, so to speak. And I heard the Lord say, tomorrow is going to be for one person. And I said, no, that must have been the devil to discourage me, you know. And but there was, you know, and so I just kind of ignored that. But I kept feeling the Lord say it's for one person. And so I got up and I spoke and kind of poured my heart out, and it was, you know, it was probably not real good, but it was like, you know, good enough. And I saw some people weeping here and there, and then, you know, had set up for an altar call, and nobody came up except one young man. And he came up, and he sat in the front row, and I remember he just kind of started crying. And so, you know, there was some ministry going on. I went over and I prayed for him, and I was disappointed because I thought the place was going to blow up, you know. I thought that this was going to be a huge revival kind of setting, but God had said for one man. And he came to me later that week and he said, I tell you what, man, that Sunday morning was for me. That's what he said, you know. He said, I got a hold of God again. I was in a really wrecked place, but I got a hold of God. And the Holy Spirit just begin to convict me of what he does. Sometimes we get revelations from heaven, and we get things that the Lord is speaking to us, and we pour it out to somebody, and they're kind of looking at you blankly like, okay, you know, it's kind of like one of those kind of things, because they're not catching what you caught in God. And it takes great wisdom to understand that God, when he moves in a meeting, he sees what he's wanting to do. And we have to simply be obedient to that process. There's days coming, I have no doubt, that the whole room will blow up. And all those things will stir up. The flesh, the demonic, and the Holy Spirit. And some people will run out of this place because they can't handle what's happening. Now, I always share that one encounter I had in my youth group where we were having some conflict between two youth leaders, and one of them, finally, about 13, 14 people in a living room, one of them apologized to the other one. And then I can still vividly remember watching this leader's face. I'd never seen him real emotional, except he had a real good sense of humor. And he started sobbing. And the next thing I knew, I was on the floor on my face, crying out for God and repenting of everything. There was things flashing through my mind, and I was repenting before God. And I heard the whole room, all 13 people, screaming, crying. Some people were screaming, you know, don't take this from me. They were literally talking to God. And I was like, what is happening? And the presence was so thick, there's nobody. You know, you either had to get out of the room, or your heart was before the Lord. And I tell you, the body of Christ, the vision for the body of Christ, what God has, these type of days are coming in the future for the body of Christ. We all have some stories of those kind of things. I'll never forget that day, what I felt that night. how clean I felt, how holy I felt, how on fire for God we were. It didn't just go away. It was like a tangible glory presence of God. When I was preparing for today, I was going to be in Proverbs 4 and 5 and just continue with the message on wisdom and seeking wisdom. And Proverbs 1 tells you what wisdom is, how it's shouting in the streets. Proverbs 2 tells you how to seek wisdom. Proverbs 3 tells you the benefits of seeking wisdom. And Proverbs 4 and 5 just continues. But I just want to read Proverbs 4 verse 5. It says, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. The beginning of wisdom in verse 7 is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the path of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass it by. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of wickedness is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. I started to see this theme, and I'm just going to sum it up. In Proverbs 5 and 6, this theme was God explaining to you, when you seek wisdom, wisdom begins to give you insight into the spiritual war that's raging all around you every day, but it also gives you insight into what God declares as immorality. He says that if you're walking in wisdom, it will guard you, it'll guard your paths. It's walking by the Spirit. We know that in the New Covenant. And with the wisdom of Jesus, but wisdom shows up in many different ways that sometimes we're not aware of if we're not seeking it. For example, specific traits of wisdom that'll show up in a believer as they walk with God. Number one, I'm just throwing some things out. Number one, you won't compare yourself to anybody. You don't have to make others look like you. You recognize the full weight of the diversity of the kingdom of God in other people. You have wisdom when to release something prophetic and when to hold it. There's a lot of things that God is going to begin to talk to his people about, and he's asking you, he will reveal something to you, and he's asking you to steward it for a season before you release it to somebody else, or you'd even declare it from the pulpit, or even to friends in private. God is looking for people that can actually have the wisdom and the maturity to hold his information. There's a lot of discomfort and upheaval in the body of Christ because of prophetic words, corporate prophetic words that are released at the wrong time. And that's something that we're growing into as a body. Wise people will understand that God will be constantly dealing with their motivations about why they do what they do. And God, the Holy Spirit, will constantly focus in you on the first commandment. The thing that I want you to realize today is some of the highest forms of wisdom are going to be absolutely dull to the natural mind. I'll just give you a quick example. You know, we talk about the house of prayer, or the fullness of the house of prayer. I've used this example before. People walking by in the mall and they see somebody worshiping God up here on Monday at 11 a.m. and they're going, what are those people doing? Are they drunk? Or, you know, what's going on? They're literally, people have no concept. Sometimes I sit in that room, I'm counseling, and every once in a while I'll see somebody walk by because I can see straight out there, and they'll walk, what? You know, they'll stop, they'll read the sign, they'll just have this perplexed look, or they'll have a contemptuous look. There's times when people will walk by and they'll look in here and they will absolutely have this hatred on their faces, like, you know, just, you can imagine what they're thinking. But what is wisdom to God? Wisdom to God is to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in everything, to be before Him in His presence. It doesn't just have to be in a house of prayer. Of course, it can be in private. But that's wisdom to God. To the natural mind, it'll seem like absolute foolishness. And so if you're not seeking wisdom, you're going to try to comprehend things of the Spirit through your natural mind. It's not going to line up. It never will. Wisdom is also a complete contradiction to the ways of the flesh and the ways of our natural inclinations in the flesh. Wisdom is often a contradiction to that. The Bible actually says that the ways of God are enmity against the natural mind or the carnal mind. The carnal mind is actually the natural mind. In and of itself, it's not bad, but it's the way you perceive through your five senses in the grace of God. God makes it very clear in Proverbs what's an abomination to Him. The behavior out there, and when I read this, I don't want you to think that I'm talking about you personally as a person. When I read this, I want you to have an understanding that this is God never changes. So without the grace of God, if God comes into contact with this type of behavior, when He says He hates it, He does. Okay? It hasn't changed in the new covenant that suddenly He just tolerates our behavior or can tolerate sin. He cannot tolerate sin. That's what grace does for us, is gives us access to God. But in Proverbs 6, God says, this is a pretty famous passage, He says, there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to Him. Now I want you to just look, just listen to this. Remember, this is the behavior that He hates. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, and a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. God hates those. They're abominable to Him. Now, sometimes in the walking in the grace message, we think, you know what? Those are covered under the blood of Jesus. They absolutely are. But what Proverbs is declaring to you is that if you continuously, without repenting, participate in these kind of things, you're walking contrary to the kingdom of God and the grace of God. And the Bible says in the new covenant that God resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. And I think that verse is one of the most misunderstood verses or the passed over verses in the message of grace in today's society. It's so minimized because people don't want to believe in the grace of God that God would actually resist you. He's not resisting you as a person. He's resisting the pride that is stirring your behavior to go forward. That's what He's resisting. And the reason He's doing that is to save your soul. Because if He gives pride the end of goal of walking in pride, you're going to end up in utter deception. And utter deception in the times we're living in is so dangerous to the believer right now. God is raising up people that are constantly declaring, get close to Jesus right now. Why? Because deception is coming. The great falling away is coming, the Bible says, in the generation the Lord returns. And deception isn't, we always think, you know, when the time comes, I'll turn it around. Well, guess what? You don't have control over this heart. You can't just shut your feelings off and on the drop of a dime. That's why Jesus said, the foolish virgins are the ones that are actually in ministry, but they haven't got the intimacy, the oil of intimacy with God. And they're susceptible to deception. He says, get oil right now, which means that you're seeking wisdom and you're seeking Jesus in a private place, no matter what anybody else is doing. whether your ministry is, you know, doing everything you think they should be doing or not. This is something that's on your hands, so to speak, when you stand before the Lord. Now, if you don't have oil in that day, God won't trust you to steward His presence. That's what's going to happen. A lot of people think, well, the foolish virgins were shut out. They're shut out of the marriage celebration. It doesn't say that they're going to lose their complete souls. If it is, it's even worse than what we're thinking. But they're actually shut out of the move of God because they can't steward His presence, because they don't know Him. They haven't gotten the wisdom. When He begins to move in a room, they haven't got the wisdom to know what to do. A lot of people, when God moves, they begin to draw it. They feel like that they're the, you know, anointed, and instead of trying to understand what God's doing in the room, they draw it to themselves, and they feel like they're the anointed ones, and that's not bad in and of itself. But if they're not dispensing that anointing, and they understand what God's saying in that particular time, they have wisdom to see what God's doing, then God can't use those people. It's not all a negative thing. It's just that God can't pour into you if you don't have the wisdom structure, so to speak, to contain His presence. And that's the most dangerous place to be, is when God anoints somebody and they're not fully mature in the ways that they handle it when they get visible. That's why we have so many people crashing and burning in the body of Christ up to this point. The next move of God is not going to have men and women suddenly get famous in God and then stumble and fall. The next move of God is going to be the body of Christ as a whole. And God's going to pour through those people that He entrusts to. We have to be aware of that. It's critical. You know, I always ask the Lord, how do I, after 15 years or however long, I don't even know, of counseling people one-on-one and thousands of hours, what do I motivate people in? What do I motivate people in? And the basics of what the Holy Spirit says is the first commandment. It's all back to loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the vast majority of the body of Christ has no knowledge how to do any of that. They don't even dwell on that or ask God, what does it mean to love you with my soul? If I say, how do you love God with all your soul? A lot of us, including me, I don't know fully. But the Lord wants us to ask Him. And so the next morning, what's your highest calling? You get up and you hang out in God's presence. You start asking Him these questions. I'm going to close with this. This verse is, I was looking through something as I was preparing this message, and this verse, you know, it's one of those things that God caught my attention with it, and then I started to look it over, and I was looking at what some other people were saying about it. But in Ephesians 6, the verse says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." And Ephesians 6 is the passage where God says, "This is reality here." And Ephesians 6 is a classic passage that says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord. In the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God." It's also the passage that says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, wicked rulers in high places, and this dark government that we can't see. And so God would say, you guys have this natural environment that you live in every day, and you think this is what's real. In our society, you know, we none of us, I don't think, are going to be threatened. Your life is going to be threatened today, physically. None of us. I don't think we'll go anywhere and maybe watch the Super Bowl or whatever where somebody's going to say, "Hey, deny Jesus or I'm going to kill you." Okay? We don't live in that type of country right now. And I honestly thank God we don't. I mean, we can praise God for freedom like that, to worship. But there's other places in the body of Christ where that's their reality. They're going to wake up, and they might have fear of this is going to happen, and it does happen to them because of ISIS and Iraq and the underground church in China and so on and so forth, North Korea. There's many places in the body of Christ where that's what they have to deal with.
For us, what we have to deal with every day is this myriad of choices we make every day with our lives, what we do with our lives. And our main opponent right now is what God says in Ephesians 6. Our battle isn't against flesh and blood, it's against the demonic. So we have to be aware of the deception of the demonic, which is, leads us into lukewarmness. That's our giant right now in this land, lukewarmness. There's so many teachings out there, unfortunately, in the body of Christ, grace teachings that are telling you that grace makes it so you don't have to do anything for Jesus, nothing. You just, because Jesus loves you and he died for you, and you carry his righteousness in your spirit, you can just live like, you can live however you want to. And you're all okay. So enjoy life, kind of a thing. And God wants you to enjoy life, but he wants you to enjoy life according to the principles of his kingdom or the Sermon on the Mount. And so that's what we fight every day. But Ephesians 6, that word finally, this is what it really means. In the Greek, it means for the rest of the matter, in conclusion or in summation. The phrase, I can't even pronounce it, is tou loupou, is used in other Greek manuscripts of the same period to depict something so extremely important that it is placed at the very end of the letter. This way, if the reader remembers nothing else in the letter, he will be more than likely to remember this one thing. Now, is Ephesians an important book to the body of Christ? Listen real quick. I'm closing, I promise. This is what the Ephesians touches on. The election of the saints. The predestination work of God. The adoption of the sons of God. The dispensation of the fullness of times. The sealing of the Holy Spirit. The earnest of the Holy Spirit. The power of God that's available to every believer. The fact that you are his inheritance. In Ephesians 1, 16 through 19. The grace of God in Ephesians chapter 2. The eternal plan of God in Ephesians chapter 3. The fivefold ministry gifts in Ephesians 4. The maturity of the church. God's vision statement in Ephesians 4. Vision statement. That's a big one. What is the purpose of all the gifting of God until we all come into the unity of faith? That's what Jesus prayed for in John 17. And we come into this maturity, not just a group here and there, but the global body of Christ. The infilling of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5, 18. Marriage, in Ephesians 5. All these things are talked about. Family functioning. The things that are important to God in a marriage relationship. At the end of Ephesians 5, respect. You know, you'll find this if you do any marriage counseling. One of a man's deepest needs is to feel respected. One of a woman's deepest needs is to feel loved and cherished. And it's right there in the last verse in Ephesians 5. All these things, these power things in Ephesians, but that one word, finally, brethren. Paul is saying, above all of that, I want you to be aware of this one thing. That this is how I see your life and the war you're living in. It's what Proverbs says, seek wisdom for. So that the immorality that's stirred up by the demonic realm doesn't become the first thing you choose when everything goes to falls apart emotionally for you. You start to learn in the grace of God how to harness your emotions so that you can walk in what you know to be truth. Honestly, the charismatic church, we're charismatic here, but the charismatic church has bought into this thing where I'm not going to really do anything until I feel moved by God in, until I hear his voice. Well, I dare you to try that for a couple weeks. I'm not going to spend time with God till I feel moved to do it. Well, I guarantee you might be one time you feel that. What about the rest of the time? God wants us to harness our emotions because if he says Ephesians 6 is the reality, the raging, demonic reality. He says, this is what I see your reality is. My reality, you know, go home, eat lunch, watch the Super Bowl, get upset if my team loses, get real excited if my team wins, go on, go to work, you know, that kind of a thing. We all know what the American culture's like. God's not diminishing any of that kind of stuff. He's just saying his reality is Ephesians 6. He begins to speak about spiritual warfare. Proverbs says when you seek wisdom, you'll begin to see the end of immorality. It says when you choose these things, you'll end up like this. God has given you total wisdom. And we can't take these grace messages that say, live like the devil, but you're okay. It won't happen. In Galatians, another minimized verse says, you will reap what you sow. This is a new covenant church. The Galatians he was talking to. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap right from the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap from the Spirit. It's kind of like this. If I'm trying to lose weight and I'm saying, God, I want you to help me lose weight, and I eat at McDonald's breakfast, lunch, and evening, and I say, God, help me lose weight, does any of you in here think I'll lose weight? No, but somehow we think we can dabble in other spiritual realities and grow in God and ask Him to come close to me and then go do immoral things on the side. I'm not diminishing anybody that's struggling right now. I'm just saying it's time for us to be awakened to Ephesians 6. Why is he talk about spiritual warfare? Because like so many in the church today, the Ephesians believers had gathered together a vast accumulation of spiritual knowledge, information, and facts. Nevertheless, this alone was not enough to keep the devil under their feet where he belonged. As we read through chapter 4, we can see that the devil was apparently attacking the Ephesians church and was having some success. That's why Paul had to instruct these believers, this is straight out of Proverbs, to put away lying, to steal no more, let no corrupt communication come out of their mouths, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, and put aside all anger and malice. I guarantee you'll find every single one of these in the first 5 or 6 chapters of Proverbs and then some. And Paul is saying, great church reality is happening, great revival's happening, but you guys are still struggling because you're dabbling in these particular areas. Does this church sound like a church full of victorious people to you? The Ephesians believers are members of the largest church of that day, yet they were not fully experiencing the overcoming abundant life that Jesus had come to offer them. So to fully close, consider your own life right now. Are you experiencing victory in most areas of your life, or are you suffering defeat in key areas? Have you ignored the fact that spiritual warfare is real? Have you gathered lots of spiritual information, knowledge, and facts, yet forgotten to put on the whole armor of God? See, this is the solution first. It says, be strong in the Lord, put on the full armor. And people, there's people out there who say, pray your armor on every day. I can handle that. That's okay to do that, but that's not what Paul means when he says that. It's not just a prayer. He says, put on the helmet of salvation, explore what salvation is. In the grace of God, in your private times, what is the fullness of salvation? Put on the blessed parade of righteousness, the belt of truth. All of these things are in relationship with God, that they're developed over your time and intimacy with the Lord. Why don't you just stand right now? Praise God for all the knowledge you've gained, but now it's time to turn your intellectual knowledge of God's word into the sword of the Spirit. Then you must raise it high and brandish it against the onslaughts of the enemy that he's been trying to bring it against you. If God says Ephesians 6 is his spiritual reality to you, then you're going to have to become really aware of it, because we can spend so much time battling people in our lives instead of forgiving them, using the word of God and begin to move the direction with the Lord and take the authority that Jesus has given you. There are some things in your life right now that don't have to be there if you would just open your mouth and rebuke them and command them to leave in Jesus' name. Honestly, we've gotten to this place where we're just kind of passive and we're like, okay, I did that and it came back an hour later. Well, then do it again. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That word wrestling means that it feels like a wrestling match. Because of your soul, not because of Jesus, that his victory isn't complete, it's because of what's going on in your soul. and taken authority over those things. Some in the room here, I guarantee it, if I ask you when's the last time you simply took authority over something, and you might say, I haven't. 6 months ago, a year ago, I haven't prayed that way. Sometimes if my wife and I get into conflict, and I go away and I immediately take authority, I start taking authority over the spirit of strife that's trying to come against my marriage. And then I ask God to just release His kindness that leads to repentance. You know, there's often when we just get into those places where we fight and fight and fight for what we think is truth, and we have no concept that we're doing it in the flesh and we're not praying. So Lord, I ask You today that You would release Your power upon Your people. Lord, I thank You that we've lingered with You today. That we've lingered in Your presence. And Lord, I ask You today that You would give us Your insight. That we would seek Your wisdom. That we would understand the spiritual war we're in. And Lord, that we would submit to Jesus. That we would do James 4:7. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I'm just going to let the worship team take us out. And let's just be in His presence a little bit here.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
What He said He will do, He will stand.